Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Hooman Radfar, the CEO of Collective, right here in San Francisco. Good afternoon, Hooman. How you doing?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining us today on this lovely day in the Bay Area. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Sure. I am an entrepreneur, turned investor, and back to entrepreneur. My first company, AdThis, was a marketing automation platform that we ended up selling to Oracle. So it was a personalization platform. We built tools to help drive traffic and engagement to website owners and scaled it to 15 million customers before selling it. And then I started getting into angel investing. And when I spoke with some of my friends that I had made during my first company, partners and whatnot, one of my old friends, Garrett Camp, who had found StumbleUpon, was starting Expa. His vision was to create the firm that he wished that he had when he was building his first company. So he started Stumble and started Uber. He was chairman and founder of Uber. And so myself, him, a bunch of other teammates, Naveen, who'd started Foursquare, built out Expa. So we really wanted to create that support network, founders helping founders in the earliest stage. Worked there, helped build out that platform for a couple of years. And then while serving those founders, had the inspiration for what is now Collective and decided to get back into operating again. Expa, of course, backed us alongside many others. And so now I'm focused on supporting the largest group of founders in the country, which are what we call business of one. So freelancers, consultants, and whatnot.
Very cool. So let's talk about Collective now. You support the business of one solopreneur, but what are the services you offer them and how do you deliver these services?
So it's a great question. Our vision for this space is fairly simple, but it's, I would say, audacious and will take us a long time. So We want to help make business of one more successful. And the way we want to do that is helping them focus on their passion and not their paperwork. And the reason we do that is simple. And I know, Mark, you've have deep experience in this. You mentioned that you've done contracting. You've been around the block. A lot of folks who are a business of one, their time is literally money. Mm-hmm. So whether you're a developer, consultant, designer, whatever, you are exchanging time for money. And so every hour we can give you back is really gold. Mm-hmm. And there are all these things, though, that when you're running your own business, in particular, as you're scaling your revenue, that take time away. So think of your accounting, your tax, your compliance, list goes on. You'd call it, paperwork administration, formation. So Collective, what we've done is we built the first, we call it back office platform. So we handle everything from formation to tax. So we're starting with bookkeeping, accounting, and then ultimately do your personal business tax and compliance. And the insight that we had was that if you're a contractor, if you're a freelancer and you are making, call it over 70,000 plus in income, all things being equal, you should strongly consider an S election and you can save a tremendous amount of taxes. And just structurally alone, we've been saving people $8,000-$9,000 just on the S election. If you include all of the other savings that we find for them, it's upwards of $16,000 a year. So we actually will form you for free, because if we form you as an S elected entity, then we can really work with you to get those tax savings. So a lot of things come with it. You ask me how you deliver it. It comes with the bookkeeping software, QuickBooks, comes with payroll software, Gusto. You have a team as well as that technology. And we create an integrated approach to helping you manage that, not only during the tax season, but off tax season, because you have to play quarterly estimates, you have to do payroll, and a business is a living, breathing thing. So to tax optimize it is a year's worth of work.
Yes, especially in the state of California, I think you would agree with that. So
yeah. Well, let's hope it gets better.
Yes, and it's funny because I always find it interesting when I talk to people that are solopreneurs or business of one. They either know this stuff inside out because they've been doing it long enough and they've been burned, or they know nothing about it. Do you find that yourself?
It's interesting. I think that's actually qualitatively been my experience as well. So I have a friend, very close friend. And when I told him what we're doing, he said, listen, I stood this up on spit and chicken wire. So, you know, he found, I think he did his entity set up on LegalZoom, and then he figured out how to do his articles of incorporation. Then he had an accountant who advised him on S elections. Lawyer did that for him. And then, you know, it was just this very bespoke situation. But because he went through it and set it up from bottoms up, he has, it's like this delicate, shaky scenario where he knows exactly how it works. But if, you know, a stiff breeze will blow it over, right? He has his payroll set up with another vendor because his accountant won't do it. And compliance, yeah, I think he has Google alerts. And it's just, it's a really interesting system. But, you know, he knows it in and out, but it's very, very precarious. And then you'll have other folks who, I've heard of this thing. I think I could save money. What's the difference between this and a sole prop? Do I just do an S election? Well, no, it's not quite as simple as that. You know, it does come at some administrative costs, right? You can save thousands of dollars, but you know, you have to run payroll and you have to do all those other things. And it's really an education process. So I think people are hearing more about S-corps and I think they're understanding there's money to be saved, but I don't think they know how.
Yes, I would agree. And for the record, I am an S-corp.
So you get it, right? Like, if, yeah. I mean, how much time do you have to spend on, you know, you have to do your payroll, you have to decide what reasonable comp is, and it depends on what year it is. Cause you know, I mean, do you manage that on your own or do you have, is your accountant doing all that? How do you do it?
It's a little bit of both. We could talk about that offline because we could probably talk for a while about that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You see, so it's tough, right?
Yes, I would agree. So, and again, multiple government agencies you have to deal with. So it's interesting. You're doing this now. Now is a pandemic, you know, where a lot of companies all went remote. Did you find that more and more businesses of one were started during the last year?
So I think not only did we find that, but if you look at studies by Freelancers Union, Upwork, you know, right now, I believe almost 36% of the workforce they call it freelancer. We call it business of one, but you know, hanging up your own shingle, you know, if you want to be colloquial about it, and it's growing very quickly. Basically it looks like within the next 5 to 10 years, we could get to a point where it's almost 50%. So what was the largest group of founders in the country will quickly become, the largest part of the workforce, and it's accelerating. And I got to tell you, when the pandemic first hit, obviously there was a lot of concerns for our health. There was a lot of concerns for the well-being of the country. When the dust settled and we started looking back at our business and we could help our members, we all were, I think as a world, trying to look at this, right? I was shocked because our membership, not only did the demand grow for the service, but their revenues was going up and to the right. I mean, I was blown away. And when I talked to some of the members, I realized why, and it's actually quite simple. In periods of uncertainty, large companies tend to hire more contractors. So our members were getting business left and right. So it's been a pretty counter-cyclical business, I think, for us.
Interesting. So where do you see Collective going in the future? Because there's other services that these small companies need, like healthcare guidance and HR and things like that. Do you think those will be things you'll add in the future?
I mean, I think you know the roadmap. Yeah. You pretty much said it there. So I think what we look at is, you know, our kind of guiding light is what's going to make our members more successful, what's going to take time off of their plate. And the products that you mentioned, the areas you mentioned are areas that take a lot of time, insurance, 401k, but also have a tax benefit. So help us fit into that tax optimization strategy perspective that we're, you know, trying to confer. So I think the future is big and bright in that regard. There's an endless amount of these types of things. I mean, you can even think, if you want to think long term, a lot of folks who are self-employed, if you're going for a mortgage, if you want to go for some of the personal finance stuff, they're what's called non-conforming, right?
Yes.
And so how do you get a mortgage? How do you get, you know, simple things? And these are people who make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, they might have a ton of money in their bank account. It's just, it doesn't fit with the status quo. Yes. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity, not just, we are focused, of course, pretty exclusively on the business side, but as we expand, as we have a larger membership, all right, well, we know how you're doing financially. We know how we can assess the risk around you. What if we can work with you know, creditors to help you get the mortgage that you need and whatnot and make that easier because, you know, you're killing it. Why do you have to worry? Why do you have to be working at a big company to have just a normal mortgage experience?
Yeah. And I mean, there's always that thing with the small business. They want to make a lot of money, but they don't want to show a lot of money on the books, right? Those are two, it's always that fine balancing act. Interesting. And speaking of companies growing, I mean, it sounds like you're growing a lot recently too. Can you tell us about your recent successes?
Sure, sure. We have right now nearly 20,000 applicants have applied for membership at Collective. And we've grown our membership from that application pool over 8 times since our seed financing. Wow. So we are trying our best to keep up with the demand, trying to help as many people as we can. And we were very lucky recently, you may have seen in the news, just raised a very large Series A from General Catalyst as the lead, $20 million to help us invest not only in scaling our team so we can help more people, help get more members on board, but also provide the technology. Because ultimately, these are complex workflows, complex processes. A lot of this can be automated. Mm-hmm. And we can make it easier for them by them not having to do the work. You know, ultimately, we believe the sweet spot and the experience, and you know, we have a lot of work to do to get there. Believe me, I can. If you want to spend some time, we can talk about it. But is a human being working with you who's an expert, having a team of experts, but they're powered by that technology so that they can do more for you faster. That's where we want to go. And I think you know, General Catalyst, along with Ashton Kutcher and Guy Osiri from Sound Ventures invested. They're creatives. They work with a creative population, which mainly are project-based, right? And a lot of contractors. So they saw the opportunity there, and they're going to help us, you know, not only reach that audience, but hopefully craft our narrative and our product to better serve them.
Very cool. And I mean, for the future, where do you think this all goes? Because I mean, so much has gone remote and you're growing. Do you think that you're going to stay as a remote company, or do you think you're eventually going to go back to the old way of doing business and have an office in your hometown?
Ultimately, I think that we are going to do what works best for our membership. Mm-hmm. And so far, we've learned somewhat as unwilling participants in this grand experiment that has occurred over the last year, that remote can work, mm-hmm. and that we can be successful, and that we can recruit people and work with people that we never would have had a chance to work with. So I think remote will always be part of our toolbox, if you will.
Yes.
The question I think we have to answer, and I don't have the answer yet, is how do we leverage in-person collaboration? Because there's something about that that's magical, you know, like sitting in an office, breaking bread with someone, you create a rapport, you inject a humanity. And for us, we want to have a human experience with our members at scale. It's hard because we want to serve a large population. So to do that, of course, we as a team internally have to build good relationships, have to work with each other and collaborate. So I do think there's some magic that occurs with offices. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be an open project, but I will say Pandora's box is open, and remote is always going to be part of what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm hearing that from more and more executives that they're trying to figure out how, because things are opening up, as you know, about a month from now, California will be open. And it's going to be interesting to see if people are going back to work on a regular basis, not going back to work, going back to the office, I should say.
And I don't think people really even know. If you want to be brass tacks, you know, ask an employee. I think their honest answer is, we'll see.
Yeah.
And, you know, it depends. If your employer makes you come in, maybe they'll do it. If they have an option, maybe they will. And I don't think people know yet. I think once they go back, step into some offices, realize the value, mm-hmm. of having that human connection, of having that meeting in person, having that whiteboard session, I think we'll start seeing what the right balancing point is. But I would be really shocked if remote work wasn't accelerated and continued accelerating. I just can't believe that we won't have some segment of the office there. The technology isn't there with Zoom and this remote collaboration stuff to completely replace that in-person collaboration, the magic of it, in my opinion, yet.
No, I agree. I think it'll be some type of hybrid model. I think people like the ability to work from home, and they will also welcome meeting people in person but it's not going to be 40 hours a week. It's going to be for every company and every even certain employees, it's going to be what works best for them.
For sure.
Yeah. So, well, Hooman, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been great talking to you. This sounds like a great project. No, I shouldn't say project, but a great endeavor you're doing. And I think you're going to do a lot of help, you know, a lot of good for a lot of businesses out there that really need these services.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. It was such a good time and happy to jam anytime you'd like. Thank you for having us on.
All right. Have a great day.
All right, Mark. Take care.